God, our Father, again, as we lift up our praises unto an awesome God. It is an absolute truth, Lord, that we just want to give you the praise, give you the glory and all the honor. Do your name. We praise you in the morning and praise you in the noonday. And truly, Lord, a people that love you in consideration of all that you have done and all that you are should never stop praising. Even when the music stops, we should keep on praising you. When the choir stops singing, we ought to keep on praising you. When the bills are past due and sickness has invaded our bodies, we got to keep praising you. When death comes, heaviness comes, got to praise you. Because somebody told us that when the praises go up, it is sure that blessings will come down. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And God, we just want to keep that command and that commitment and let that be our consistency for the rest of our lives. We will lift up and magnify your name, because at the name of Jesus, even demons behave themselves. So God, we call into correction everything that's not like you. We call it to order everything that's out of order, that you be glorified. Hear our prayer in this room. Children have gathered and they're listening and waiting. So we say, speak to us now, Lord. This is our moment. This is all that we know we have. Cannot take stock in yesterday, and we don't know about tomorrow. So while we're gathered in this place, speak to us, Lord, we pray. And God, forgive us of our sins and have mercy on us. In the name of Jesus. The redeemed of the Lord said together, amen, amen, and amen. Come on and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you can do better. You can do better. This is the God of our salvation. This is the God of our joy. How many of you got joy? Unspeakable joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Isn't it just good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Grab your Bibles. We don't want to trouble you long today. It's a little past the hour of 12. It's 12:34, in fact. And we know that you all are very particular about your time, as am I about mine. So I don't want to waste yours, because I certainly don't want to waste mine. So we're going to make the best of this time together. Amen. We invite you to stand with us very quickly as we are engaging in the Word of God. We are standing in reverence to the Word of God, and I'm convinced that if we can stand for the judge to walk in the courtroom, we can stand for the president, and we can stand at a football game, and we can stand for the national anthem, we can surely stand for the Word of God. And it always amazes me that people don't argue about those things, but we get in the church of God and get defiant. I've been to football games, and I tell you, I'm kind of like Michelle Obama. There was a time when I wasn't proud of this country. But when they said, let us rise for the playing of the national anthem, I stood. When we were in elementary school and high school, they said, let us take the Pledge of Allegiance, I did that. So why we get to the house of God? Because if there was no God, there'd be none of that. And we can't stand for his word. Can I tell you that if you won't stand for the word ain't going to stand for you. God said that already. God said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Amen. That's motivational right there. Amen. Then, you know, you've got the argument, somebody, that's Old Testament. Ain't no such thing. We've got to stop trying to divide the Old Testament from the New Testament for the sake of our convenience. You like the New Testament, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, Old Testament. Then don't say, well, in the Old Testament they stood. You don't know what they did. You wasn't even there. Just do what we ask you to do now. Amen. Tell your neighbor, obedience is a blessing. Amen. Sitting around, I ain't standing. Well, okay, well, you all right. Lay down on God, and you'll lay down forever. Amen. Romans chapter 8. I'm done. Amen. I just had to go and get that part in. Amen. Amen. My wig hurt. Okay. You better not let me catch you walking around in Olive Garden in a few minutes. Amen. I stubbed my toe. Okay. You ask God to heal your toe. Amen. God bless you. Romans 8, verse 18. Romans 8 at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You may be seated. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. Y'all do me a favor. Fix a good smile on your face. Smile, look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, pastor's going to preach. All things considered, I'm good. That's all I want to talk about. All things considered, I'm good. Matter of fact, let's do it this way. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, all things considered, I'm good. Now give him a high five. I'm good. Matter of fact, look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, if you knew the shape I was in, you'd be out of shape, but I'm good. Can I get one more in? Look at this, and neighbor, I'm straight. You have to understand here with me for just a moment. I'm gonna go Dallas play at 1 o'clock today. Bless y'all. This is y'all lucky day. We're going to lose anyway. It don't matter. We playing the Ravens. We don't have a chance. It's over. It's not going to happen. It's bad. It's bad. I had high hopes, Deacon Johnson, for this year, but it ain't working for me. Because Pittsburgh ain't doing too good either, so y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. I ain't going to hear nothing from the Redskins. That's just not happening. It is, it's a community concern that, and what Paul addresses, you have to be honest enough to admit that all of us know what suffering is like. And it doesn't matter how wonderful you are. It doesn't matter how jacked up you are. All of us know what suffering is like. So what he says, Sandra, is really all things considered, I'm good. I'm all right, you know. And sometimes you've got to learn to look at yourself with a more positive optical observation. Your eyes optical. You cannot get down on yourself is what I'm saying. And sometimes we do that to ourselves simply because our circumstances and situations and certain scenarios are playing out in the difficult mode. But Jesus told you in this life you'll have trouble. That's just the okie doke of it. That's the real deal. And so Paul says to the church, he said, listen, what are you going to learn from it? The pressing question is what am I going to learn from what I'm going through so that when I get through, I'm good? This don't have to kill me. This doesn't have to depress me. Amen. You know, you got to learn how to shake it off. Amen. And know that there are good days and bad days, but you good. These light momentary afflictions, they come that they might bring for us a greater glory. Oh, I ain't getting amens. It's a reality that what you're dealing with can develop you if you take the right attitude. And so Paul says to the church, he says, well, let me help you understand that you've got to learn how to consider your sufferings. How many of you have ever had bad things happen and you know you're a good person? I saw some of y'all who voted. I'm not sure why you voted. No, I'm just kidding. You understand that in light of the fact that this is a crazy world, that crazy stuff happens. In the church that Forrest Gump mama was deacon in, she said that stupid is as stupid does. And the church said amen. And so Paul said to the church that there are present and past situations. Even in the future tense, some stuff gonna happen. But when you consider what's happening to you, it's when you compare it to what is promised to you that makes you say, I'm good. Paul says, in my own life, let me testify to y'all that sometimes it got so bad that I didn't even like life. Sometimes it got so bad that I despise getting out of bed. I didn't want to go to work. I didn't want to preach that day. I didn't want to do Bible study. I didn't want to deal with nobody. I know some amens out there. That when I got up, going back to bed was a better option. Amen. When the phone rang, forget the caller ID. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want it. I don't want to be encouraged. Don't need my prayer partners coming by calling. I'm just not in the mood for it. Anybody ever been there? Been so low that you had to look up to see the bottom. Paul said, I know what that's like. He said, and I've been pressed on every side. Some of us get pressed on one side and we're done. He said, I've been pressed on every side. Front, back, middle, top, bottom. Anybody ever felt like they've been squozed? Not squeezed, squozed. Amen. Tell your neighbor he can make up words. He's the pastor. You. Paul said that the principal thing to understand, Deacon Davis, is that you are going to be all right. Let me help you understand here, beloved of God. It's easier to get through when you know how you're going to come out. I wish y'all heard that. It's a whole lot easier to get through when you know how you're going to come out. And the Bible gives you the answer. That's why I told y'all there's an app for it. The Bible says that when I have gone through the fire, I shall come forth as pure gold. Can I tell you that afflictions increase your value? All right. This side here getting it. This side is slow. Did you... The Bible says that when I have gone through the fire is going to make me better. Look at the name, says it's getting hot in here. Yeah, some of the stuff I'm dealing with is burning me up right now, but that which is burned off makes my journey better. I'm carrying a little less weight now. I'm tried and tested. And he said, listen, you got to have a jackhammer mentality. Any of y'all ever seen a jackhammer? I know too many of y'all ever operated one. But you know, you see the jackhammer. It just, and if you look at it, it really doesn't look like it's doing much. But if you stay there long enough, it's breaking it up. See, you just got to stand it. You have noticed the guy that's using the jackhammer. He got a good stand. You know, you can't grab a jackhammer. That'll be in the club next week. But y'all better stop. You gotta. We need some saved people to come to church one Sunday. You gotta hold on. You have noticed the guy with the jackhammer. He's paying attention to what he's doing. You got to have a tenacity.
Yes, sir.
You got to get this. I'm going to break this up. Because, yes, see, when you break it out, you can handle it better. Some things come to us too big. But God said, I'm your jackhammer. God said, put me on that. You stand there with a little old pickaxe and a screwdriver beat. God said, what you doing? God said, I am the jackhammer. You gotta put me on the job, and the persistency of God is to break it up. These things come to us too big. That's why the Lord is a heavy load sharer, burden bearer. He said, I got this. Amen. And so Paul says that you got to understand that whatever's happening to you, just consider how you're going to come out. Some of us are in the midst of it right now. We're going through some things. And what Paul says is that you can't stop praying. Writes a letter to the church of Thessalonica. He said, and pray without ceasing. Some of us stop praying when we get in trouble. We get all twitter-pated and all confused and confluxed, and we I can't pray. You better pray without ceasing. If all you can get is, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, that's gonna be a good one right there. Don't you never stop praying. Nothing they say, keep praying. God answers prayer. Yeah, God is not obligated to hear all that whining. I know you're saying through moanings and groanings. He ain't say no whining, though. Prayer. Paul said, you gotta keep praying. Stay on the thing. And he reminds us, he said, listen, because the prayers of the righteous are symphony in the ears of the Lord. God said, I hear that. Praying. And when he talks to us, he said, listen, you got to understand that when you consider, Bible said, think on these things. We're almost there. He said, you consider, and you're going to realize something. That in your considering, you're making progress. How many know you ain't stuck? Amen. Look at a neighbor and say, you ain't stuck. Child, it's been weeks. Some of us sometimes don't realize how much time has gone by since. Some of us right now don't realize it's been 2 years since that bad thing happened. It's been 6 months, and you're still in here. Some of us, when we got that notice, when the letter came, when the phone call woke us up, when the x-rays came back, when the verdict was in. Y'all ain't talking to me. You don't realize it's been some time since then.
And you thought when the phone rang and the letter came and the verdict was given and the x-rays came back that you were going to die. But baby, look at you now. You are still here. Still got a little wave and a praise. Still got a little energy to stand up. Still got a little handshake going. Still got a little foot stomping going. In all of the things you've been through, you're still here. Ain't nobody waving smelling salts on your nose no more. Ain't nobody feeling sorry for you. In fact, cancel a pity party when the praises go up. Don't come around here feeling sorry for me. Don't come looking for no funeral. I will bless the Lord in this. Even in this. I'm going to bless him. All things considered. Paul said, whatever it is, whatever it was, whatever it might be, there's some glory in that thing. Y'all remember Cracker Jack? Y'all said it. Y'all preaching. There's a prize in every box. Let me see. I'm going. I got to go. Is there anybody here ever opened up box Cracker Jack and wasn't no prize in it? Not a chance. The devil is a liar and a thief if it ain't in there. All right, watch this. We going to go. I ain't got much more time. How many of y'all ever opened it up, shook out all the Cracker Jack to get to the prize? I can eat this later. I need to see what's in here. And you, what was in there? We were jacked up. Them old sour whistles. Them little tattoos. And we was happy. We went around all day annoying people. But that, hey, it was in there. And you know what? Your God ain't short. Whatever you need, he'll supply. God said that if you consider, it's going to be some glory in that. The investment of your trouble is a down payment on your triumph. I'm in this because God said it's time for me to get some triumph. Listen, let me tell you something. Bad things do happen. All the time. Paul said, whatever. He said, listen, I've learned that whatever state I'm in that particular state, to chill out. Look at him and say, chill out. No, you can't just throw it at him. You got to do the right thing. Chill out. You got to put something with it. Give him the chill sound. Chill out. Go easy. Why? Because God said so. Paul said, whatever state I'm in, I'm content. I'm cool. You know, you ever notice that some people can have that look? You say, man, how you chilling like that? No, didn't they tell you thus and thus? And didn't they say, yeah? But God be glorified. Yeah. I'm going to dance to the gallows. While they towing my car away, I'ma dance to the bus stop. When they foreclose, when I get back to my mama's house, I'ma say, I'm here. Ain't you glad I'm back? You gotta understand that Paul says you gotta trust God in whatever. Now here's the closing argument. You gotta consider. That's all. It's about, give me a couple minutes. All he's saying is just think about it. Yeah. Many of you, when things happen, you panic. He said, there's a greater glory. You're not understanding the text. He said, listen, whatever you suffer now is nothing in comparison. Tell your neighbor, this is crazy. It's nothing. Watch this. The text said, the New Living Translation, he said, listen, whatever now we suffer is nothing compared to, watch this now, the watch this where I got my happy at, Minister White, compared to the glory he will give us later. Now see, y'all missed it. Because watch this, and this the argument of the end. Because that which is problematic turns into that which is promise because of the provision of our provider. You missed it. I know this is happening to you. I'm not trying to minimize what's happening to you. I'm just trying to tell you what's laid up for you. Because if this had not happened, then that would not have been promised. Watch this. Because the promise comes to them that have had it happen. See, some of y'all quiet now trying to figure out how deep and intellectual that was. Can I minimize it for you? If you don't never go through nothing, you ain't gonna never get nothing. Stop trying to duck the problems. Stop trying to act like people say, I'm fine. No, if you got to deal with it, deal with it. But what I'm telling you is, you got to stop skipping the problems. Stop trying to act like you got to just go and deal with it. He said, because when you consider, in the NIV, he said, listen, when I consider, I came up with a conclusion that this cool here. All things mean that no matter what it was, I win. That's it. Whatever. Listen. Let me help you understand something. He said, be careful how you look at things. Because some of us are looking at things as if it came to kill me. But can I tell you, God won't let nothing kill you. Y'all missed that. Jesus said, y'all can't take my life. I got to lay this down. Now, here's what you miss. Because you are one with God, the same principle application that applies to Christ applies. Your enemy can't hurt you. Oh, my Lord. Cancer. High blood pressure. It can't hurt you. You know why? You are more than a conqueror. Yes, you are. What do you say? You say, Pastor, that happened. The Bible says, if this earthly tabernacle be destroyed, so what? Y'all missed that. I know you got to deal with some stuff. All of us going to die or something. But there's an app for that. Because to be absent from the body. So all things considered, I'm good. The doctor may be checking up and I may be checking out, but I'm going up. Because when you look at it, he said, listen, we're done. He said, if you consider the sufferings and consider the setback and consider the struggle and consider the situation, the conclusion that you must come to is God is an awesome God. Because God said, listen, in all your ways acknowledge me and I'll take care of you, because whatever you are dealing with, I knew before you knew. And because I knew and loved you, I dealt with it. God said, I got this. He reminded us, he said, listen, you are in the midst of. But how many know that in the midst of is not the end of? All right, we got to go now, because he reminds us what he said. He said, listen, church, don't get it twisted. Can I do it like that? Don't get it twisted, because things are happening to us all the time. But what he reminds us of is that the God of your salvation and the God who loves you is keenly aware. He has advanced notification of those things that are going to happen to you. mirror, mirror on the wall, who the fairest of them all? You remember that? That was in Snow White. That was in the little fairy tale. But the problem was that the mirror could only tell a lie because the lie was what wanted to be heard. Amen. You remember what the mirror would say. But when the mirror found out that there was a truth available, y'all ain't seen, I set it up for you. The mirror said, well, I hate to tell you this today, but there's a new girl in town and she's far beautiful than you. And the queen got a little bent out of shape. But here's the fact of the matter. It wasn't the mirror that she had to deal with, but she had to learn how to deal with herself. What I'm trying to help you understand is that God does not let you stand alone in anything. You're always wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in the anointing presence of God. So whatever you're trying to deal with, you're not standing there all by yourself. You've just got to realize that God is in control. And God said, listen, there will be no thing that will take you out of here because I am the Lord your God. And you must understand that in this life, when trouble comes, it does not come to us as if God was not aware of our situation. God knows you're in Amherst, Lynchburg, Bedford, Boonesboro, Madison Heights. God knows exactly where you are. But what I've come to tell you as I get ready to go cry in my living room is that the Lord loved you too much to leave you by yourself. In other words, he said, listen, if thy mother and father forsake you, you know the Lord will take you up. But what he also reminds us of is, listen, I'll be a hedge round about you. I'll be your battle axe in the time of war. And if you call upon the name, I feel a little better now. I said, if you call upon the name, you will discover he is a very present help, even in the times of our trouble. Look at a neighbor and say, neighbor, he coming close now, because I've had some trouble in my life. I've had some good days and some bad days. I've been sick, but I feel better now. My money got funny and my change got strange, but I'm here to tell somebody, look at me now. I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burdens down. I've come to tell somebody that through many dangers, toils, and snares, that I have already come, and grace that brought me safe thus far is the same grace that will lead me on. That's why the writer said we're pressing on the upward way. New heights we are gaining every day. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I feel like dancing because I feel my help coming now. Every time I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, my soul cries hallelujah. My feet get happy because when I think about God and how he picked me up, turned me around, he made a way out of no way. Ain't God all right? When I think about him putting food on my table and clothes on my back, when I think about the house I live in now compared to the box on the street, when I think about the money that God put in my pocket that I didn't have to steal from nobody, when I think about how the doctor scratched his head but God laid his hand, when I think about how they counted me out but God counted me in, every time I think about the goodness of the Lord, my soul doth magnify. I'm so glad to tell you that I thought about that thing. That's church language, you know, for people who've been through some stuff. Some of us have been through so many things that we just call it that thing. We don't even remember what it was because the Lord erased it from our memory. But we do remember that we've dealt with some things. Look at your name and say, neighbor, that thing, that marvelous thing. But there's something about the name of Jesus that when I put the name of Jesus on that thing seemed to minimize. But God be glorified. I'm so glad to report that therefore laid up for you is a crown of righteousness that shall be revealed on that day. Look at your name and say, neighbor, this may not be the day, but the day will come when all the saints have gathered at home. And when we all together. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all get together. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm a winner. I've been through some things. I've been down, but look at me now. I've been sick, but look at me now. I've been poor, but look at me now. He left me, but look at me now. They fired me, but look at me now. Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Did he do it? Can he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That the Lord had redeemed with a mighty hand. He picked us up, turned us around. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Ain't God all right? He hung, bled, and died. But early, I said early, one Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Didn't he rise? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get on up. You got the power to rise again. I know you're down. I know you're hurt. But get on up. Get on up and shake that thing. Ain't God all right? You can give him the praise even in advance. I know you're still hurting. I know you're sad. But get on up. 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 Say rise. 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 Didn't he rise? Didn't he rise? And because he rose, you can rise. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah.
Listen, I know y'all got to go, but really, all things considered, we good. Can I tell you that some folk can't handle what you went through? But God needed an example among men. Look at me and say, neighbor, I know you're jealous that the Lord picked me. You wasn't ready yet, but he picked me. And I was more than happy to be used by God. How many feel like you've been used by God? Silver and gold we don't have, but look on us. How many you can tell a neighbor you're looking at a testimony? If I had time to talk to you like I want to talk to you, it'd be late in the evening. But you're looking at a testimony. Even the stuff that some folk told you ain't told you to have. I'm here as a living testimony that God is able. Come on, y'all. God is able. If you consider the sufferings, the setbacks, consider, listen, you ain't no spring chicken. You didn't just get here. You got some miles on you. You've been through some stuff. Am I right about it? Look at name and say, I ain't no worse for the wear. As a matter of fact, considering what I've been through, I look pretty good. Amen. If my Aunt Polly Mae was here right now, she'd say something like, oh, honey, hush. Considering what you've been through, the stress, the sleepless nights. Child, I'm on my fifth wig. I done been through some stuff. I have to wear fake nails because I ate up the other ones. Are you listening to?
if you consider. But Paul said to the church, listen, what you're going through ain't worth comparing the glory God has for you. Listen, let me stand up. We're going to go stand up. Stand up a little past the hour. A little past the hour. Let me give you this and we're going to go. This week, this is the 14th day of October, year 2012. Here's what we're going to give you this week. This is bonus preaching. There's no charge for this. This is free. I want you to do this for me this week. Do this for yourself. Don't do it for me. Let me take care of this. Do this for yourself. No matter what you face this week, no matter what happens to you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in it with this opening argument, this statement of affirmation. I'm going in it to get the glory out of it. I'm going in it to get the glory out of it. Let me tell you why. Remember the Cracker Jack. It's a Cracker Jack theology. Remember the Cracker Jack box. You went in it to get the prize out of it. You didn't care that about the Cracker Jack. You know, caramel-coated popcorn, peanuts. That wasn't a big deal. You went in it. Some of y'all learned that the prize tend to settle to the bottom. You start opening it from the bottom. How many of y'all used to open it from the bottom? Because you knew, that thing done fell to the bottom. Some of us got smart and we shook it down to the bottom. We were beating it on like a pack of cigarettes. And open it up and we'll eat that later. So this week, this is your victory. This is your affirmation. That I'm going in it to get the glory out of it. You don't have to avoid the phone this week. Answer it. Don't be scared to go to the mailbox. Dance to the mailbox. When the sheriff knock on your door, say, just a moment. Be right there. When the car break down, don't cuss, don't fuss, don't have no disgust. This cool. I've been looking for another one anyway. But whatever happens, when your husband, your wife, your children start acting crazy, go in it to get the glory out of it. And they'll look at you and say, you strange. Say, no, I'm secure. I'm straight. And they say, somebody going to send you, usually you blow up right about now. Say, no, I'm blessed. Because there's a greater glory. In fact, every time somebody gets you kind of crossed up, thank them for blessing you. Say, appreciate you blessing me. They're going to be looking at you all fish-eyed. You're going to say, I appreciate that. Because I'm considering the suffering. And I know there's a greater glory. This comes to pass. Let no thing take up residence permanently in your life. Save Christ Jesus. It came to pass. Can y'all do that? Try. Now, I'm adding to your little ditty bag because I told you before, bless it, break it. Now, you going in it to get the glory out of it. Don't be sitting there and say, oh, here we go again. Say, here we go. In the ear of your mind, you ought to hear da 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 da. Y'all getting it? This is therapeutic here. Every time something bad happens, you ought to say, charge, I'm coming. When that bill come past due, overdue, long overdue, say, okay, Lord, I'm going to get some glory out of this. Now, first of all, don't be trying to cheat the system. You got to take care of your responsibility, obligation. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't deceive. But when you go to the doctor this week, I told y'all, I told my dad, I said, hey, man, if you want to quit, you'll be quitting by yourself. Everybody got to understand something here. Here's what you got to understand. The text is applicable to every one of us. So he said, when I consider the suffering, I know that there's a greater glory. That's for everybody. It ain't just for the pastor, the deacon, the trustee, the minister. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to get mine. That's right. Now, if you stand by somebody who didn't get there, say, well, I'll take yours. They too proud to tell you they're going to get there. Say, well, I'll take yours. Because, you know, glory is glory. I don't care how you look at it. You do know that there are literally presents unopened around the throne place of God. Because people were too lazy to claim it. I'll take yours. Glory is glory. Now here's the argument. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, you ought to come right now. Come right now, because this preaching, the elect of God, this is news for us. The world, I told them in Christian Academy this morning, that we must remember that we are designed to affect change in the world, not for the world to change us. So we need this word. We need this power. But you got to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. You can't enlist in a man's army and not follow orders. And there is an army of the Lord. So we invite you to come now very quickly. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, our doors are open to you to consider the with or without. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, the Lord says, if you deny me here, you're without. But if you accept me, you'll be with me. So that's all it is. This is not about Brookville. This is not about Brookville. This is not about any church. This is about Christ. So if you'll come now, we witness Brother Van get baptized today. Got a little excited about that. But I'm going to tell you, just like I told him, I said, bro, it's on you. It's on you. You can do this. You know, you can get baptized and take pictures and do all that kind of stuff. You know, the water was nice and warm today. Thank you, trustees. Thank you very much. But it don't matter nothing. If you walk out of there, how you died on this side and how you live on this side is up to you. But it's Christ Jesus. We died to be with Christ. But you got to be with Christ. So our doors are open that you'll be with Christ. Second thing I will say to you is, don't fool yourself. It's a race and we stumble. Restoration is there. God will restore us. Our redemptive work is done. We were redeemed by the hand of God. Long it was done for us. It's done. The redeemed, that's us. But we need to understand that restoration, reconciliation, repentance, all of them are things that we need to work on. They're on us. God did redemption. You can't redeem yourself. So you've been redeemed. They used to sing that song in the church long years ago. I am redeemed, bought with a price. That price is paid. So you are the redeemed, but you've got to make the right response to your redemptive work. And restoration is a part of those things that can happen for us. Then lastly, we say to you, if you're looking for a church home, we invite you to be a part of our family. We're going to keep growing and strengthening and teaching and living and learning. We're going to get our minds right. We invite you to be a part of our family. We believe that something really wonderful is happening. It's happening at God's time. We're not going to rush it, but we believe that God will do it for us if we're willing to do it with him. God bless you. God bless you. Families are coming. Come on, let's praise the Lord. God bless you. This is Van's family. Oh, come on, let's bless the Lord. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Our doors are open, and there's room for you. Would you come now? Would you come now? Okay. Would you come? Would you come? Our doors are open for you. Our doors are open. We're inviting you to come and be a part of our family. I invite you to come that you would know Christ for yourself and that you'll grow in the Lord. I said this in Christian Academy this morning that if your foundation won't hold you, it's not going to hold anybody else. You need a place in the Lord and that you can be strengthened together. Okay? We can let Sister Jess take care of that right quick just to give them some information for you. While others are coming, that we'll pray together. We'll let that get done. Come on, we're going to pray together. I know y'all ready to go. I promise not to hold you forever. Sister Jess is going to take care of that family information. We're asking you to come and pray with us. We thank God for all of you today. We thank God for you. We're really excited about your presence with us today. To our guests that came by, thank you for coming. Know that you could have gone a lot of different places.
Sister Ozelia came and told me, say, I have some special friends here today, and I'm so glad they came, and she was so glad to have you, and we're glad you stopped by.